And joining us now on the line is Dan from the band Plastic Barricades. Hi, Dan. How are you?
Hi, Colin. Thanks for having me. I'm good.
No problem at all. You're sounding loud and clear on ARFM. And just a quick sort of mention really about the band. The band's called Plastic Barricades. How does that sort of name come about? It's always interesting to find out really, before we continue with the interview, how bands actually got their names.
Yeah, so the name has been around for more than a decade now, and it's our biggest secret. So every time we get asked about the name of the band, we agreed that we're just gonna come up with a new story. So if you Google Plastic Barricades band name, you're gonna have a whole bunch of conspiracy theories regarding the band name. But I'll tell you the real story. These two words can be found in verse 1 and verse 2 of a very, very cool Britpop song by a very, very big Britpop band. Not going to tell you anything else, so let your listeners find the song, find the lyrics, and get the true story.
Okay, that'll be a little competition for them if they can let me know via my email address the reason for Plastic Barricades, and then maybe I'll sort them out a little prize as well. There's two of you in the band, so there's Dan Kent Kircher I'm speaking to now, and also is it Chris Barber as well?
Yes.
How did
Chris
you?
Chris is our drummer.
Yep. So is it just a two-piece band?
Yeah, it's become, so the latest album was done in a very different way to the previous two, and because it was a remote album, so it was in the true vein of COVID times, it was done remotely. So before we recorded half of the album with Chris, we haven't even met, which is really strange, but it's very 21st century. Very 2020. So he's based in near Sheffield, and I'm in London. So we collaborated remotely, and there's a lot of other people involved on the record that were also based in other cities and even other countries. So it's a truly, truly remote album.
How did you meet Chris? How did you get in touch with Chris?
So I just found him online because he's a very, very good session drummer. He's recording. He has his own recording studio. He's doing recording sessions for all sorts of artists. But his true passion is indie rock, and he's been playing in bands like mine for many, many years. So yeah, we just connected online, and as soon as I've heard his first attempts to play Plastic Barricades songs, I was convinced this is it. He's the one.
So the album's called "We Stayed Indoors." You just mentioned earlier on that it was recorded during COVID. Is that correct?
Yes, it was written and recorded and mixed during the whole COVID times. Yeah.
Okay, so I think it's about time we should play some of the music and play a tune from the album, which is called. Let me look at the. Yeah, so we'll play a tune now from the album. The first one we're going to hear is a tune called "Counting Fireworks." What's that about? Is there anything special?
Yeah, it's the first song on the record for a reason, because it's a song about the first day of the year and all the big expectations that we always place on the new year, and we want to make it better, we want to be better humans, we want to achieve more things. You know, you go to the gym on the 1st of January and it's full.
That's
and
true.
You go to the gym on the 10th of January and it's kind of half full, and then by the end of the month it's kind of dissipates back to normal. I just wanted to say that I think we don't need to place all this attention on the first day of the year, but rather just make sure that every year is better than the previous one.
So let's hear it now. This is Plastic Barricades and a tune called "Counting Fireworks."
Thank you.
Counting Fireworks by Plastic Barricades. And I'm talking to Dan Kurt from the band. I take it, Dan, that you're the only songwriter in the band.
Yeah, we've tried several different configurations over the years, and it just seems that it's easier when I get all the initial ideas down and then I get other people to develop them together. But yeah, writing song from scratch in a collaborative manner is very tricky.
When you write them, what comes first, the lyrics or the music, or does it just depend on the sort of mood you're in while you're writing?
I think that the best way to make sure that the song is coherent is to try to do everything at once, which is very hard sometimes. But it's like all the songs that make sense, I think they come, the music comes together with the lyrics, or at least some semblance of the lyrics, and then I can edit them later. But yeah, it's the music that dictates the meaning for me. So I would say the music comes first.
I was looking at the press release, and it says that the band was mainly formed in 2007 in Estonia. So is that where you're originally from, Estonia?
Yes, I was born in Tallinn, which is the capital of Estonia, which is this very tiny little northern country that not many people know about.
And now you're based here in London. When did you move to London?
It's going to be 12 years this year.
Okay. And do you play many gigs in London? Do you do many live shows?
We used to tour a lot when we recorded and released the first album, and we overdone it a bit, and it was a lot of pressure on the band to keep going and to keep touring, to keep playing. There's a lot of close quarters and all that stuff. And then COVID hit. And then I realized that I can actually make a bit more progress with songwriting if we don't gig that much. So I think it's over the years, the band turned more into like a recording project. But I do miss playing live, and we plan to play some gigs around the country this year.
Okay, does that mean you would need to get a band together, or have you got guys sort of already lined up to sort of play with you?
No. Everything is in place. We just need to put the tour together. Basically, that's it.
Okay, I'll look out for that. I'll look out for all the posters of Plastic Barricades playing live. What were your influences growing up with music? Obviously, growing up in Estonia, but what sort of music was you listening to growing up? What actually got you into music?
My like very first love. I went to music school since I was six.
Oh, okay.
And my very first love was all the romantic composers like Chopin and Schubert and all those guys. Just
wow.
Because I played those. I studied piano. And then when I was 11, I discovered this little band called Nirvana, and that changed my life literally. I love to reminisce on that, because it was one of those days when I knew I needed to go and buy my first cassette tape. Because I had saved some lunch money, and I was coming back from music school, and there was this like a kiosk with all the cassettes in there, and I've heard the name before somewhere, and I liked the cover, and it wasn't the official album, it was like the very best of, it was a compilation tape, and I bought it. I came home, put it into my double decker, press play, and the first song was Sliver, and I remember that chorus hitting, and I just like, I had all the goosebumps all around, everywhere, and yeah, and my mom came in and she was like, "What is this noise?" And I'm like, "Yes,
I think I do think Nirvana influenced a lot of the band. It's good to hear that you actually went and sort of studied music, because a lot of musicians can't even sort of read or write music. It's good to hear that there is somebody that actually went to music school. Do you think that helped you in your songwriting?
It's hard to say. I mean, I'm sure it did. But at the same time, I studied classical music for 10 years, which is very different to what I'm doing now. And it was very, very strict kind of school. So we had to be perfect. We had to play perfectly. So no one taught me how to actually enjoy playing music.
I see.
Which is a big thing.
Yes.
So
I think
I had to find that myself after I graduated.
Yeah, it becomes a bit of a grind if you're being taught by a teacher and you're not really enjoying it, although you like music, but you're not really enjoying the sort of direction they're taking you in.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right, time now, I think, for another tune from the album, which is by Plastic Barricades. We stayed indoors, obviously put together while the pandemic was on. Did it take long to record before we hear the tune?
So the whole album took 2 years to do, from songwriting to completion.
Okay, so this tune we're going to hear now is a tune called Secondhand Dreams. Is that about anything in particular, or is it like just some songs where they just sort of put words together?
No, it's, I rarely have those. You know, we live in this world where we always see people telling us what the dream is. It's like, this is the dream, this is what you should achieve. But actually, if you think about it, maybe that's not my dream. Maybe I don't want a fancy car. Maybe I don't want a fancy house. Maybe I want to travel. Maybe I want to do something else. So Secondhand Dreams is about people trying to achieve someone else's dreams instead of trying to find their own ones.
Okay, so let's hear it now. This is Plastic Barricades and Secondhand Dreams.
Ourselves today.
Secondhand Dreams there by Plastic Barricades, and I'm talking to Dan Kurt from the band. Are you still there, Dan?
Oh, yes.
Good. I'm looking at the press releases, and I read something about you won a few, was it songwriting competitions or something like that?
Yeah, and also for, like, we like to do music videos that are a bit left of center and a bit weird. So some film festivals gave us some awards for our music videos, which is pretty cool.
Do you put the videos together yourselves? Is it all planned, you know, within the band?
Yes, so I'm very lucky to have a very, very creative wife called Elena. She's our art director. She's been doing this for a decade now. So she's responsible for all the artwork and most of the music videos. We just like to experiment with styles and how we do it, and like have as many limitations as possible and embrace them, because I do believe that if you have a budget of £100,000 and a crew of 50 people, anyone can do a great music video. But if you have a budget of £500, then you have to get creative with it.
The album's very well produced. Did you do it all yourself, or was there a sort of separate producer involved?
So I've spent 2 years trying to make sure I know what I'm doing in the studio. So it was a very steep learning curve for me, but this is how I spend my time during the lockdowns and all that stuff. Although I don't think that mixing your own songs is a healthy thing, because I will never be able to be objective about the mixing. So I had Tom Hill from Bookhouse Studios do the mixing, and then our very long time collaborator Andy Baldwin, who's an absolutely legendary mastering producer in Metropolis, do the mastering. So yeah, but like all the tracking, all the recording was done by me and Chris.
Wow. So is music your full-time job, or do you have something else you do outside music?
I'm one of the lucky ones. Music is my everything. But this year I'm gearing up to release my first book of short stories.
Okay.
So that's a little side project that I'm working on at the moment.
I was just going to ask you about any hobbies, but I'm guessing now you've said that your hobbies is probably writing books.
Yes, because I sometimes cannot cram all the thoughts I have into a 3.5 minute song. There's a lot of limitations when it comes to lyrics. So I find writing to be very therapeutic, because I don't have any limitations. It's just me and my head and a laptop, and that's it, and I love it. It's very freeing.
Is there a title for the book yet or not?
It's going to be called Ladders of Former Lives.
Okay, all right. Let me know. Send me an email when it's around.
Absolutely.
And I'll try and promote it for you. Just a quick one about the band playing live. Is it always your own music, or do you sort of throw in a few covers if you're playing live?
Over the years, we've only done very few shows where we've done a couple of covers here and there, because I just like, I'm very aware of like a good cover is has to be very, very different from the original. That's my idea. When bands try to play it exactly, I don't see the point. So we've done our fair share of Radiohead, Nirvana, and Oasis, and Coldplay, and all those bands we love. I'm doing a bit more covers these days from the studio, recording and streaming live and doing all those things.
Otherwise, you're right in what you say, because otherwise you're playing live and you just become a jukebox, really, on the stage.
Exactly. I think one of the greatest examples of a really great cover is Feeling Good by Muse. They made it their own, and it sounds amazing, and you would never recognize it as a cover.
Exactly. Yeah, I think a lot of people. Yeah, I think a lot of there's a few bands and a few artists around that do cover versions, and you think it's their own song, and then when you dig into it, you find out that it was actually written and performed by somebody else. And I think we'll play one more tune, and then before we finish up, we'll just let people know how they can get a hold of the music by Plastic Barricade. So the final tune we're going to hear is called Tallest Trees. Explain that one, please.
So this was written after a very lovely day at Kew Gardens, which is a very big botanical garden in London.
I do like. I do like Kew Gardens. It's an amazing place.
It's brilliant. I just think that humans are so self-centered. We always think about that we are the reason for everything. But then you look at those 100-year-old trees. They've been there, and they're gonna be there when we're gone. And they see everything that we do from a distance. And I'm just curious, what do they actually think of us? Because I'm a bit scared to find out, to be honest.
I do wonder whether they can actually, you know, hear or have got any sort of really strange communication skills to find out what's going on around them. Because, like you say, trees have been around for a long, long time.
There's an amazing book by this forester from Germany. It's called Hidden Life of Trees. It's absolutely fascinating. Highly recommend it because they do communicate with each other. It's a whole thing. It's really fascinating.
And is this what this song's all about?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so let's hear it now. This is Plastic Barricades and their tune, Tallest Trees.
Thank you.
Plastic Barricades and Tallest Trees, and I'm talking to Dan Kurt from the band. What's next for the band, Dan, and what's next for you?
I'm already writing album number 4. I just set up a new studio for it in West London, so I'm very excited to get going because I'm just bursting with ideas for the new songs. So we're also hopefully gonna play live this year. We'll see how that goes.
Yep.
There's a lot of things I need to say. I'm one of those.
Just go out and say them. So if people want to get hold of your music, especially this current album, My Plastic Barricade, We Stayed Indoors, what's the best way for people to obtain the album?
It's all the usual suspects, Spotify, Apple Music, and the rest of the streaming platforms. That seems to be the easiest way to spread music around the world these days. And I'm really fascinated how we have listeners from 120 countries, which is pretty strange.
Yep, it really is. Is it available in hard copy, or is it only as a download?
No, it's just streaming and download. There's no hard copies so far.
Yeah. And does the band do you have a website if people want to sort of check the band out?
Oh yeah, it's plasticbarricades.eu.
Okay, plasticbarricades.eu. Okay, I'll just write that down. Okay, lovely. Right, well, Dan, that's very interesting, and I hope people do check out the music by Plastic Barricades. Thank you very much for being with us on ARFM, and we'll catch up soon, and hopefully one day I'll manage to catch the band live.
Thank you so much for your support, Colin. It's going to be almost 10 years very soon since you first played our songs, so thank you so much for that.
It seems a long time for me. Okay, thank you, Dan, very much indeed, and we'll catch up very, very soon. Bye-bye now.
Thank you.